How's life? We ask it all the time. How are you? How's life? What's going on at the moment in your life? And here in this Psalm of David, David touches on so many of those things that he's been through in his life. And so there's so many different aspects of life that we can look at just briefly this evening. David, of course, has been through a right lot, hasn't he? And there's a few of us who have a life story to compare to that of David's and all the ups and downs that he had. And yet, looking back, we're told here in verse 1, at the dedication of his house, the palace, when he finally becomes a king in Jerusalem, he can look back and touch on various things that have happened in his life. And so we read that it's there at the dedication of his house in Jerusalem that this happens. But he touches on so many aspects of his life before. And as he does that, perhaps some of those things will strike a chord with us as we look through this psalm together this evening. Firstly, perhaps we can see, and maybe the case is for you, maybe life is a lot of trouble. Maybe life is a lot of trouble. And before David was crowned king, that happened in 2 Samuel chapter 5. For those of us who are at Bible study on Thursday this week, we were looking, just briefly, skimming through some of 1 Samuel and all the things that happen in that. And so most of David's life, recorded in 1 Samuel, is one of great trouble. He has many enemies, battles with the Philistines. He's on the run from Saul for a lot of that time too. And during that, he's survived his numerous murder attempts. Yeah, and he has to live in caves. And that was no picnic. He's had no doubt had many trials, many hardships, many life and death situations that he faced and that are recorded for us in 1 Samuel. And here in Psalm 30, he reflects on some of those. So in those first three verses, David mentions. He mentions his enemies in verse 1. He mentions verse 2 that there were times he cried out to God and God healed him. So perhaps there were times of great illness. Hardly be surprising when you're on the run almost constantly, living in damp caves and so on. It's hardly surprising that there may have been illnesses, not many of them recorded in 1 Samuel, but all the same. And again, in verse 3, it says, "You brought up my soul from the grave. You kept me alive." And we definitely know from 1 Samuel there were many of those threats that he faced to his very life. Points where he must have been very near death, in the thick of battle, and when Saul was out hunting him and the like. And he can reflect on some of those things. It says in verse 1, "You've lifted me up." Well, that implies that before that he was right down in the ditch, down in the depths, doesn't it? And maybe some of those things, and just reflecting just very briefly on some of those stories of David's life, resonate with you. Maybe you have a life that at the moment is full of trouble. Maybe not quite as dramatic as David's. Maybe no one's going to write a story about yours. But maybe all the same. Your life is full of troubles at the moment. Maybe some similar ones. Maybe you have enemies. Maybe you're facing some persecution too. Maybe just some jokes and at your expense for being a Christian. Maybe worse. It can sometimes be in situations in the workplace. You can meet bullying and so on from colleagues and from managers, who knows, for serving the Lord. Maybe you're in trouble of illness. Maybe you're feeling weak. Maybe you're not sure how life is or how long life may be. Maybe you're in the thick of many troubles at the moment. Well, what would David advise? David, who'd been through so many things, what would David advise you to do? If that's your situation this evening, full of trouble, one thing after another, getting you down at the moment. What would David advise? Well, he's got it here in these verses, especially verse 2 perhaps. O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. What would David advise you? He'd advise you to pray and to cry to God. It's there so many times he's reflecting on these dire situations he's been in, but in all of those he cried out to God, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried out to you in these situations. When I was low with illness and sickness, when I was feeling my life was coming to an end, when I was surrounded by enemies, when all these things were happening, when these troubles brought me low, I cried out to you. And that's what David would advise us to do, if that's where we are, through our health situations, through situations at work, or things in the family, things with your finances, all sorts of things it might be. David would advise us to cry out to God. And he has in verse 10 another wonderful prayer. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. Now, there's another one of David's prayers, asking God again to hear. Hear me, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Be kind to me. Be gracious with me. O Lord, be my helper. That's a wonderful prayer. Four words. Another good memory verse there from David. Lord, be my helper. That's a good prayer to memorise. A good prayer that you can pray in 101 situations, isn't it? When you're feeling ill, when you're waiting for some results at the doctor's, when you've got hospital appointments to go to, when you're worried at the bank statements that are coming through the door, whatever it is. Lord, be my helper. That's a good prayer, isn't it, for us to remember. And no doubt David cried that many times in his life. Lord, be my helper. That's what David would advise us, isn't it? If life's a lot of trouble at the moment, he'd advise us to cry out to God and pray, Lord, be my helper. Maybe that's the situation you're in this evening. Or maybe, secondly, you were in that situation and God has answered those prayers. Maybe you could look back, maybe years, maybe months, maybe not so long, and think, yes, I was in a lot of trouble. And maybe now, in this moment in time, I can think of how God has answered those prayers. And that's what David can do, especially in those first three verses. He's reflecting upon those hardships and troubles he had, but he's also reflecting on the fact that God answered them and God helped resolve all of those situations in one way or another. David can look back at chapters of great trouble in his life and how God had answered him. And David thanks God in those first three verses for five things God has done. You can see them there in those first three verses. I will extol you, O Lord. First one, for you have lifted me up. Next one. And not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. Third thing that God's done. It carries on verse 3. O Lord, you brought up my soul from the grave. You've kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. He keeps saying this. You have. Five things he can think of God doing for him, and how he can look back on these prayers that God answered. Well, maybe that's your situation this evening. You can reflect back at this moment in time on a chapter perhaps of great trouble and how God answered your prayers. That's what David can do. That's what he can do here in this psalm, especially at the dedication of his palace. Now, it is a different chapter of his life. He's finally been made king over all of Israel now. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 5. We'll look there in a moment. And he can build himself a palace. The king Hiram down the road from Lebanon. He's sending him cedars and so on. There's peace in the land at that moment. He can look back on answered prayer that God has brought about. Well, maybe that's your situation. Maybe you can think of one or two or maybe more, maybe five, like David could. Answered prayers. Things that God has done recently. Maybe problems that you are facing that have been resolved. Well, what would David advise you? If that's your situation this evening, maybe God has answered your prayers. Well, David would encourage you, as he says there in verse 4. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. And David would advise you to praise him. Praise him and sing. If that's your situation, you can look back at answered prayer. David could, and he then gives the command, verse 4, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his. David's singing, he's writing a song here in this psalm, and he encourages us, he commands us to do the same, to sing praise to God. If we're his saints, and if we can remember things that he's done, well, we're meant to give thanks as we remember what the Holy God has done for us. Giving thanks for those things that God has done and those prayers that he has answered. And he says the same in the first verse. I will extol you, O Lord. And the word extol means lift up. I will lift God's name up. I will lift him up. Well, he says in verse 1, because he lifted me up. Of course, we're talking about some slightly different things there, aren't we? God has lifted us up. It may be from physical difficulties, or it may be in the spiritual sense. He's lifted us up out of the grave, out of death, out of the miry pit and the like. What does it mean for us to lift God up? It's not like he's down in the mud that we need to rescue him, like he's rescued us. It's using the same word, but in a slightly different way. God has lifted us up. By rescuing us and saving us and answering our prayers, well, we lift him up by worshipping him. We exalt his name and we bring our voices and our thanksgiving and our prayers to him. We sing, we praise him, and we lift him up in practical ways of worship too, as we give to him. As we give our money, as we give our time, as we give ourselves, we're extolling the Lord, we're lifting him up. David can think back of these answered prayers. Especially carries on in verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment, his favour is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Isn't that a wonderful thing, that those of us who are his saints, verse 4, can look back and see how his anger to us was short. Isn't that great? That God's anger was short, but his favour is for life. A bit hard to translate that verse. Is it God's favour is life or is for life? You'll notice the four is in italics there. And it could be either way, really. And both of them add something to that thought, doesn't it? That God's favour is for life. And he's promised it, hasn't he? For our lives. Actually, more than that. For nothing can separate us from God's love. Not even death. His favour is for life. There's never going to be some reason, some obstacle, and we fall out of favour with God. His favour, his mercy, he no longer gives. Now, his favour is for life. He's promised it, that nothing can separate us. And in another sense as well, his favour is life. It's his gift to us. As Jesus himself would say, he'd come to give life, and life to the full. For without him and without his favour, we don't have life, do we? Without his favour, as we were thinking this morning, we're perishing. If we know nothing of God's favour, if we know nothing of his grace and mercy, we don't have life. We're just perishing. So his favour is life. It's making us born again. It's giving us life to the full now, and life in even greater fullness, eternal life, and life with him in glory. So we can reflect on these answered prayers. that his anger was short, but his favour is life and is for life. Weeping is just for a night, and joy comes in the morning. And David could look back on those things, that those trials were things that he had gone through, and often perhaps some of those trials that God sends are short-lived. Weeping may be for a night. There may be times of great trial and great trouble. It may last a night. It may last more than that. But then joy comes in the morning. As David would say, how many nights did David spend sleeping rough? How many nights was he on the run? How many nights was he in danger of his life? How many nights did he go through? Well, he can still reflect and say, oh, no, no. Weeping was just for a night. Joy came in the morning. And so it is for us. God does answer prayers, and God does often bring joy and rest from those trials. But even if he doesn't, some of those trials we may face may be trials that we're stuck with. They may be trials that God doesn't take away. And yet Peter in his letter would say, those light and momentary trials that are achieving for us eternal glory. And so even if there's some hardship that you have to bear at the moment that you've had to bear for a long time, and you think it's likely you'll have to bear it for the rest of your life as well, in glory we'll look back and say it was just weeping for a night. But joy in the morning, because those passing short trials we'll look back on and think they were just a little blip, just a passing trial, light and momentary, that's now completely eclipsed, completely surpassed by eternal glory and rest. And those hiccups that we had before in our life will fade into insignificance. For those illnesses that aren't healed. And of course, in the end, our bodies will go down to the grave, won't they? Maybe those trials are here to stay. Maybe there will be mourning. But joy will come in the morning. Maybe that morning will be the first morning, as it were, when we wake in glory, wake in heaven. That morning we'll wake with joy, won't we? Well, David's been through all these different things. And maybe for you, life is a lot of trouble at the moment. Or maybe God has answered those prayers. Well, there's a different situation we might face as well, thirdly. Maybe life is relaxed and easy. And that's what it sounds a little bit like here in Psalm 30. David, of course, is writing this psalm at the dedication of his palace. Wow. That's a hint for us to do too, that we should always give thanks for God in all sorts of things. Whether you move house into a palace or something more ordinary, or in all sorts of things, we should give thanks. Well, David had moved from those times of great trial and hardships into a time of peace. And we read in 2 Samuel chapter 5 of that, earlier on in the chapter, that all the tribes of Israel now, the squabbling was over, and they all accepted David as their king. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 6 onwards, David captures Jerusalem and makes it the city of David. And it's there that he's going to build his stronghold, we're told, in verse 9. And David dwelt in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built all around from the Milo and inward. So David went on and became great. And the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messages to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons. And they built David a house. So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. And David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he'd come from Hebron. Also more sons and daughters were born to David. There's a little hint there in that last verse of what might happen next. Life had become peaceful. He'd been on the run for years. He'd been through great hardships. Well, now, after being on the run, he was now living in a city. He could even call it his own, the city of David. Before, for years, he'd been the king in waiting, hunted by the existing king. Now he was established and acknowledged by all the nation, brought respect from neighbouring nations. Before he'd lived in caves, now he built himself a palace of cedar. God had kept his promises, as it mentions there in 2 Samuel. God had answered his prayers. But perhaps there's a hint as well, that although life for David had become relaxed and peaceful and easy, maybe for David, life had become too easy. And that's an unexpected trial, isn't it? That we don't think of as a trial. When there's illnesses, when there's hardships, when we're struggling to make ends meet, when there's difficulties, we notice those as trials and we pray about them. Well, we should do. And they're more obvious things, aren't they? But when life is relaxed and easy, that can be a trial we don't notice. And that was the problem for David. For him, his life became peaceful and perhaps too easy. And so he says in verse 6, "Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favour, you've made my mountain stand strong." There's David in a time of prosperity. He was rich. He was healthy. He had a home. He had a palace. He had a family round him. And he brought more wives and concubines into that and had more children and so on as well. There were no threats. There were no disasters. And he does acknowledge that that's God's favour to him. Verse 7, "Lord, by your favour, these things have happened." But very easily. It seems to be hinted at there for David, both in this psalm and in that bit we read in 2 Samuel 5. Very easy. It becomes carelessness. And we become complacent and conceited, perhaps, and proud and self-assured. And so David, in his prosperity, he says, verse 6, "I shall never be moved." That's a stupid thing to say, isn't it? But one that can easily happen in our ease, and when we're relaxed, and when everything seems to be going well, we can become proud and self-assured and self-confident. And so David utters these very unwise, untruthful words. "I shall never be moved." Carries on in verse 7. "You've made my mountain stand strong." Now he had a palace on the mountains of Jerusalem. "My mountain standing strong," says David. Wasn't it more like a molehill? And sometimes that can be for us. And then God hides his face. Verse 7, more of that in a moment. But maybe for us, life can become relaxed and easy. And maybe that's our situation this evening. Maybe you've got a lovely home, just the way you like it, or more or less, back home. Maybe you've got money in the bank, a bit in your pocket as well. You've got a reliable job that seems pretty steady. You've got a steady income coming in each month from your work or your pension, whatever it might be. Perhaps your body's pretty healthy. Everything's working pretty much at the moment. Perhaps you've got a loving family around you and the like. Maybe life is relaxed and easy. Well, we should give thanks. As we were singing in our first hymn, "If peace and plenty crown my days, they help me, Lord, to speak your praise." Well, they should. If life is relaxed and easy and peaceful at the moment, we should give thanks. But I think David would give us some advice. Be careful. Be careful that in that ease and relaxing and peacefulness, that we don't take our eye off the ball, take our eye off Jesus, and end up slipping into pride and carelessness and self-confidence. For fourthly, you see, there's another situation which David slips into. Maybe spiritual life has reduced and dwindled. That seems to be what happens to David. In his time of prosperity, he utters these proud words. He becomes so sure about his mountain that God has given, but that this mountain will stand strong. And David's life, it seems, had ebbed away a bit, dwindled. His spiritual vitality that sometimes he displayed so well in times of trial seemed to dwindle. And as we read there, he took many wives and concubines that they were commanded not to, and the like, and so on. But God hid his face, verse 7, and second bit of verse 7. You hid your face, and I was troubled. And that's a good thing, that David was troubled. David was sensitive to that. God hid his face. He woke up one morning, and I was thinking as he lay there in bed, surrounded by all the stuff he had and the like, thinking, hang on a minute, something's not right here. Hang on a minute, God feels far away. Maybe he thought, well, I can't remember, when did I last pray? I've been forgetting for the last couple of days or whatever. And God's hidden his face. God's far away. There's something wrong here in my spiritual life. And David was sensitive to that. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing for us to think sometimes, hang on a minute, how am I doing spiritually? How's my prayer life? How's my reading of the Bible? How's my participating in the life of the church and things like that? If we never ask questions about that, if we never pause for a moment to be concerned about it, that's a bad sign. But if we think, if we're sometimes troubled in our conscience, oh, if I slipped away a bit from the Lord, that's a good sign to be sensitive to that and to be careful about that, as David was here. You see, David almost had it all, didn't he? He had a palace of cedar. He had a nation. He had the other countries around coming and paying him respect and the like. He almost, that's the word, had it all. But he knew he didn't have one thing. He knew his spiritual life had slipped. He knew God wasn't as close as he used to be. That God had hid his face. And that likely because of his sin and his pride and his arrogance and so on that we've mentioned before. Or maybe that's the case for us. David almost had it all, but he knew he was far from God. Maybe that's our state this evening. Maybe everything's fine, materially speaking, with our job and with our health and with our family and our home and the like. But maybe we think to ourselves, hang on a minute. Like we read in one of those hymns, where is that love I, when I first saw the Lord, I can't quite think of the right phrase, but that, you know, the one. So where was that? Do I love the Lord as much now as I did a few years ago or a few months or whatever it might be? How am I doing spiritually? Well, David may give us some advice in that situation too. Maybe if we think and pause for a moment and think, actually, perhaps I have wandered a bit. Wandered a bit off the straight and narrow. Maybe I've not been praying as I should. Maybe I haven't been thanking Jesus for all he's done for me and the like. So easy we can slip into that. Well, what would David say? What advice would David give to us if that's our condition this evening? Well, he says there in verse 8, I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust declare you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. What advice would David give us? He'd tell us to pray again. It's obvious, but perhaps we need to say it, don't we? When something physical goes wrong, we perhaps have a more instinctive desire to pray. And we're suddenly brought low by an illness or some great hardship strikes us. We know to pray. But perhaps when spiritual life is not as it should, we think, oh, what should I do? Perhaps I can fix it. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll try and earn a few brownie points, we somehow slip into thinking. Why, if we're feeling spiritually unwell, perhaps spiritually we're not fit as a fiddle as we should be, well, shouldn't we go to the doctor of our souls? Shouldn't we turn to God and say, God, heal me. Just the same as David may have prayed in a physical illness, shouldn't we pray the same if we're thinking, goodness me, my love for the Lord is pretty feeble at the minute. Shouldn't we turn to the Lord and say, Lord, heal me of that spiritual problem I have? He pleads in prayer. He pleads in prayer. He feels he's going to die. He feels so far away from God. He's going down into the pit. And will my body in the grave, will my body praise you in the dust when it's turned back into dust and the like? He's realizing how weak he is. He said before, I'm never going to be moved. Verse 6 and 7, my mountain stands strong. And then he says, no, Lord, I'm nothing. I'm weak. And without you, I'm just ebbing away. Lord, I need you to intervene. Without you, life isn't worth living. Without being close to you. And so he pleads in prayer. Hear, O Lord, verse 10, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. We mentioned that verse before, but here it is, where it belongs in verse 10. Hear, O Lord, we should pray. Have mercy. That's what David needed. In his pride, in his arrogance, he pleads for mercy. And that's what we need to do, isn't it? If that's our condition. Lord, be my helper. Lord, you're the one who can help, not just physical things that are going on, but you can help me spiritually. Lord, be my helper. I'm not loving you as I should. Lord, be my helper. I'm not that interested in praying at the moment as I should be. Lord, be my helper. You're the one who can stir those little embers, burning, just glowing coals. You can stir them into life, fan into flame that gift that he has given us. Well, lastly, maybe God's answered those prayers too. Maybe he can look back at all of these different things that have happened. You see, they're all in the past tense for David. He can look back on times of physical hardship and how God answered those prayers. He can look back on times of spiritual wandering and spiritual life when it was ebbing away a bit. And he can look back and say, God's answered those prayers too and restored me. And so lastly, God may, maybe for you, God has answered those prayers as well. And so he concludes in verse 11 and 12. You've turned for me my mourning into dancing. And David can look back on those prayers that God answered. How his mourning had been turned to dancing. Been brought low spiritually. Noticing his own spiritual life had become rather stale and a mess. And he'd been brought low to mourn that condition. His disobedience, his pride and the like. And that mourning that had driven him to, feeling God was far away, he said, had been turned to dancing. The sackcloth I was wearing before, now God's clothed me with gladness. Before I'd wandered a bit from him, I wasn't feeling that in love with him and the like. But now he's given me clothes of gladness. I'm filled with gladness to think about what the Lord Jesus has done. As he reflects, what we mentioned before, verse 5, his anger is but for a moment. His favour is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. David could reflect, no doubt, on times when God was angry for a moment. God disciplined him for a moment. But it was just for a little bit. His favour is for life, and there was weeping for a night because of his disobedience and the things he'd done wrong in not following the Lord. But then joy came in the morning as the Lord restored him. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we can look back on too? How the Lord shapes us spiritually, sometimes bringing us low, sometimes disciplining us. And there may be weeping for a night, but he answers those prayers and he restores us. He refreshes us and revives us and fixes our eyes back on the Lord Jesus Christ again and answers those prayers. Well, when he does, what should we do? David would give us his advice, just like in verse 4. He says the same in verse 12, to the end, that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I'll give thanks to you forever. They will tell us again to praise God and thank him. Praise him and sing. That's what David would tell us to do. And he says that God's done these things, that my glory, he's meaning all my abilities, all my faculties with which I can praise him. And I'm going to praise him. I'm going to thank him. David could look back on times when he'd been in physical troubles and God had answered those prayers, and spiritual lowness too, and how God had answered that. You see, there's five situations David very quickly works through in this psalm. Perhaps for us, one of those seems to resonate more than the others. Perhaps we're in a time of ease and relaxation where David would tell us, give thanks, but be careful. Maybe we're in a time of physical troubles. Well, David would advise us to pray and cry to God, because the Lord is my helper. And he answers. And he does answer those prayers. Maybe we're in times of spiritual troubles. Well, the same. Pray to the Lord who's our helper. And those things may just be for a time. Because God answers prayer. God restores us in physical times of need, and God restores us spiritually when we turn to him. And so if we're in that situation, then we should sing and give thanks. Whatever it is, we should be turning ourselves to God, isn't it? Whether we're in trouble, whether we're in answered prayer, whether it's something physical, whether it's something spiritual going on, we should turn to him. Because as David says in his last couple of words, because we're going to do that forever one day. O Lord, my God, I'll give thanks to you forever. When all of the prayers are answered. When those physical ailments and troubles and trials of this life are gone. And when our spiritual life bursts into so much of a reality that we'll have never experienced here on earth. But when we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and we're made like him, then we'll, as the hymn says, not till then will I know how much I owe. And our spiritual life then in glory, as we give thanks to him forever, will be something that we just can't comprehend. Because our praise and our worship for God down here on earth is limited. It's limited both by our bodies and by our spiritual lives. But one day it won't be. And we'll see him. And we'll really love him. Like we really should. And we'll do it forever. Let's sing our psalm. It's the one that's on the piece of paper. Hopefully we've got enough of them. If not, we'll have to shuffle them around so everyone can see one between two or something like that. Because it's always good to sing a psalm. Especially if we've been looking at it. That's what they're there for. They're there to read. They're there to study. They're there to pray and they're there to sing. So we're going to sing Psalm 30. It's the paraphrase that's there on our piece of paper. Set to a familiar tune, hopefully. So hopefully it will fit. I exalt you, Lord Eternal, from the depths you raised my soul. 5 verses. Mm-hmm.